This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Benkovic-Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Benkovic-Williams, and I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Delighted to be here on campus at EWTN in the studios in Irondale, Alabama. You're going to see me here from time to time because I am living here as well as working here now. So it's a great privilege and honor to be able to come in and use the studio. Hey, you know what? I want to give you a couple of numbers that you can use to give us a call right here as we continue to have holy conversation with you this AM. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. That is the toll-free number for you to use if you're here in North America. Again, it's 833-288-3986. EWTN. We have a number for you too if you're outside of North America, and always happy to receive your calls. We do rush you to the head of the line, so to speak, when you're calling us from outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. All kinds of good things waiting for us. Phone lines already lighting up, and thanks to Matt Kabensky, here they are, and I'm looking at them right on my board. We want to invite you to pick up the phone and give us a call, just as Richard has and others that are calling in right now. Do also want to remind you that we're available to you out there on EWTN Radio's Facebook page and YouTube channel. Jeff Burson, our producer here today, and always, is our social media manager, and he gets all that information up on the board here. It's so nice to be able to see Jeff right now, you know, because usually I don't see him. I get little messages here, and I like to get those little messages, and I'll probably still get some, but I can look at him and eyeball him and see what he's doing while the show is in progress here. I do want to tell you just a couple of things. I've had an amazing morning. You know, isn't it wonderful when you wake up and your morning is filled with blessings to be received that you don't really 100% know are there for you in the moment, and you discover them as time goes on there. And I had a morning like that, and it was a morning that involved the meeting of a lovely, lovely woman named Lori. And I'm going to ask you to pray for Lori. So I'm going to tell you the little story as it goes. So yesterday there was a small group on campus here who was being led through the tour that is often conducted by numbers of the friars. And I believe that it was Brother John yesterday who was conducting this tour. And they went, they came into the gift shop area here, and my husband, Jack Williams, was walking by, and the woman noticed him and said hello to him and said congratulations, and he said, you know, thank you very, very much. And then, as it so happened, later on in the day, Jack went in to spend a few moments before the Blessed Sacrament, which is one of the great blessings here on campus at EWTN. If you've never had the opportunity to come here to just see this great enterprise, this great apostolic work that Mother Angelica's Fiat has wrought, you are really missing out on a great treat. And one of the blessings on the grounds, of course, is the chapel. You see that chapel every day in the televised mass if you watch it. And the chapel is just so power-packed with prayer. You know, you walk into a sacred space, and when that sacred space has been used as it's meant to be used, with prayers rising to the heavenlies, you can feel it. You know, the atmosphere is charged with it. So you come into this, to the chapel there, and following the morning mass, our Lord is exposed, and he's there for you all day long. And just what a great pleasure. So the employees routinely will stop in through the course of the day, and numbers of them sign up for an hour of adoration on a weekly basis. And this is all part of the work that goes on here at EWTN. You are never, ever forgotten. I just want you to know, all of our listeners, all of our viewers are always remembered here on campus. We pray for you routinely and often and daily. And what can I say? You know, you're just always in our hearts. So at any rate, Jack was in there and in the chapel, and he was praying, and he came out, and here he sees this lovely lady again. And she stops him, and she takes advantage of the opportunity, and she said to him, "I know that you're busy and you've got lots to do." And she says, "You know, but I'm going to ask you, would you please ask Johnette to pray for me?" And she said, "I'm dying." And boy, what a poignant moment. And, you know, just in a matter of minutes, I received a phone call. I was not on campus yesterday. I was at our home here in Alabama, and he called, and he told me about this beautiful woman. And he said, "Listen, this is what I'm thinking. She's going to be at the Shrine in Hansville tomorrow." And he said, "What about if we get up really early and we go to Mass in Hansville?" So the Mass in Hansville is at 7 a.m. So that's what we did this morning. So we went up there, and Lori and her husband, Nevin, were there. And after Mass, she turned around. Actually, I was kneeling just, you know, a few pews behind her. Didn't realize it at first. And then Jack pointed her out to me. And I had an opportunity to meet with her. And what a blessing it was to meet her, truly indeed. Just an amazing woman. She's in her 40s. She's the mother of four children. Her youngest is six, and she has a rare cancer. Doctors have told her there's nothing more they can do for her. And she feels as though her birth into eternal life is going to be sooner than later. And she told me how she listens to us here on EWTN Radio, and I was just so deeply moved by her courage, by her candidness, by her openness. And I gave her what pithy words I could give her, you know. And what do you say to someone in those moments? You know, you just assure them of God's love for them, of your prayers for them, not to waste the suffering. That we are never separated from our loved ones. St. John the 23rd said that. He says, our loved ones are never separated from us, only invisible to us, you know. And I told her how that works both ways, and that she'll never be separated from her children or this little one of hers, that she's, you know, her heart's breaking for all of her children, for this little guy in a unique way. And, you know, and we prayed together, and she was telling me how she just wants to be so faithful to God at this time, you know. And, oh my goodness, it was such a poignant moment. And I was so deeply blessed by her, so deeply blessed, because when you see somebody who is courageously facing their future, albeit with the natural concerns and worries that we have and the fears and the whole, you know, uncertainty of these issues, you know, and what is it really like? And when your faith is being tested, you know, I mean, you know, it's being tested severely. I remember the story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and I shared it with her that, you know, St. Thérèse of Lisieux went through a dark night in the throes of her final hours, and thought that all was gone, all was lost. She would not achieve eternal life. And she made that famous statement that even if I should be in hell, I will praise you there. You know, she was just wrought with concern for herself. And, you know, we have these natural fears, right? And it takes courageous action, you know, tremendous life of faith that has preceded these moments to exercise that heroic virtue of fortitude that is necessary in those moments. And I was seeing this in this beautiful woman, young woman, and it was encouraging. You know, it was so encouraging to me. So I share that story with you today because I don't know what your travail is, you know. We talk about suffering a lot here. And why is that? It's because suffering is the common denominator of each of us. We all suffer. We all suffer in varieties of ways. What do we do when we suffer? That's the big question, isn't it, though? And I saw a way today in this beautiful woman, Lori. I do want you to pray for her. Nothing is impossible with God. And as Jack and I were driving up there to Hansville, and we do a couple of prayers that we pray together every morning, and we were praying the rosary especially in preparation for the beautiful grace that we knew we would experience in Hansville. I was thinking to myself, you know, here we are, and we're at the shrine, and you know, we can pray from purgatory, we can pray from heaven, right? Once we pass. And so it's always right and proper to beseech the prayers of those that we know have led holy lives, even if they're not canonized or any of that. So I was thinking, you know, it would be lovely to have a miracle here, and why not at the shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hansville, right? So we pray for a miraculous healing for this dear woman. But if it should be God's will that this is the perfect time for her to come into eternal life, that we pray nonetheless that she will remain courageous in this time, and that she will receive every spiritual blessing in the heavens that she is being offered by God. You know, that she will have those blessings attentive to her. I assured her she would, because I could just see in her light, and I knew that Jesus was very close to her, and our mother was holding her in her arms. So I'm going to ask you to please pray for Lori and for all of those who are facing these imminent moments, right? Maybe that's somebody close to you in your own family. Maybe you needed to hear these words today because you can carry them to somebody that you know is suffering today. God wants to use all of us as instruments of his grace, of instruments of his divine life, of instruments of hope, instruments of proclamation of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings that as opportunities to us in so many varieties of ways. So let's, you know, as we go to this break, let's remember Lori and her husband, Nevin, and her four children, and this beautiful family of God, full of life in so many ways, but most importantly, full of spiritual life. And in the end, friends, you know what? That's all we have, right? In the end, that's all we have. So we're going to be right back with you. Let me give you those numbers again. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're right here for you on Women of Grace Live today. I'm Johnette Benkovic-Williams, eager to be with you. Richard and Joseph hanging in there through the course of our little monologue here. We want to see your name flash up here on our board too. You can get it up there either by phone, numbers just given to you, or out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. Yes, sirree, we're there for you too. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. June 12th. St. John Damascene said, "Having confidence in you, O Mother of God, I shall be saved. Being under your protection, I shall fear nothing. With your help, I shall give battle to my enemies and put them to flight. For devotion to you is an arm of salvation." Let us reflect. How is it that the Blessed Mother protects us and helps us put our enemies to flight? Why is she an arm of salvation? Is my devotion to her commensurate with her great mission? Blessed Lady, pray for me this day.
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
To tweet or not to tweet? That is the question when it comes to the Vatican and its new rules for nuns regarding social media. I'm Teresa Tomeo of Catholic Connection with another Media Minute. The Vatican says nuns need to cool it a bit with the tweeting, the Catholic Church issuing new guidelines for social media when it comes to nuns who are supposed to be living cloistered lives of quiet contemplation. They're worried, they say, about the distraction from so much social media that permeates modern life. The Vatican saying social media user information or work is fine as long as the nuns do use some discretion. The aim, the Church says, is to safeguard the identity and mission of contemplative women religious. The Vatican releasing new norms for contemplative orders of nuns, encouraging cooperation among their monasteries and outlining procedures for communities left with only a few members. I'm Teresa Tomeo with another Media Minute here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Benkovic-Williams, and I'm so happy to be with you today. Going to give you those numbers again. Then we're going to go straight to the phone lines because we've got some people holding there. And we are also going to be sharing anything that you want to share today as you continue to call us here and as you get your questions to us via social media. Let me give you those numbers, 833-288-EWTN. That is the toll-free number for those of you that are in North America. It's 833-288-3986. And we want to remind you that you can also reach us if you are outside of North America. That number is 1-205-271-2985. We've got Richard holding, and Richard is from Peoria, Illinois. And how are you today, Richard?
I'm very fine. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
And I appreciate you putting all that online.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be with you. What's going on in your world today? What's your question?
Well, I have two short statements.
Okay.
That I would like to share with you.
Sure.
The first one is a short verse.
Yeah.
Much depends on our own constant choices.
Mm. That's a good
many
one.
Many strive to rise to heaven, to perpetual heavenly companionships. Many of us might easily stumble into perpetual hellish turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
On our own constant choices much depends. And what I would like to do is take that phrase, hellish turbulence, and dissolve it with a short series of notes. It's very short.
Okay.
Now, I know for a fact that you're familiar with the Fatima apparitions.
With the Fatima apparitions? Is that what you said?
Yeah, with the Fatima apparitions.
Yes, I am.
All right. In July, the third month of the apparitions, our Blessed Mother showed now Saint Francesco and Saint Jacinta and Lucia a vision of hell. Did she not?
She did.
Now, for an artist representation of what some of the figures in hell might look like, you can access Salvatore Dali, some of his paintings. I would like to render a poet's rendition of what might have been seen. It's very short. Imagine a large cauldron of scalding, boiling water that does not evaporate. Can you picture that?
Yes, I think I can.
All right. Now, instead of water, picture a large cauldron of hellish fire, a never-ending fire.
Right.
And a turbulence of figures churning up and down over and over in hellish fire, which is never extinguished. And that is a fearful thought I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray, and my children and wife and all my friends, I'm never subjected to.
Yeah. You know, I want to share with you, Richard, just a couple of things, you know, based on what you've shared. And, you know, the first, part of your sharing today, talking about, you know, that every choice that we make is an important decision, because every decision that we make is either going to tend us towards heaven or tend us potentially towards hell. So we make these choices out of the gift of free will that God gives to us. And it reminds me of something I have been, I think, crediting St. Augustine with this, but I think it's actually St. Catherine of Siena, who said that God who created you without your help will not save you without your help. And that choices and decisions that we make has to do with that last portion of what St. Catherine of Siena says. We can either help ourselves to gain heaven through the choices we make, or we can hinder our progress through the choices we make. And we each have to make a decision on which way we're going to go with that. As far as the depiction of hell, you know, many of the saints were privileged to receive visions of what hell looks like, a place of great torment, a place of great suffering. And so it's led very many to tell the Lord, to say to the Lord, to ask the Lord, to plead with the Lord, let me live my purgatory out in this life rather than in the next. Because the cooperation with grace that we're able to exhibit at this point in time still merits for us the possibility of getting rid of the temporal punishment for our sins. And we can do that in the here and the now. We cannot do that in eternity. So we have got to, should we be in purgatory, we would need to depend upon the prayers of others. And that is the way that it goes. We can't merit anything after death. So we want to do the best that we can here through our choices, and also perhaps through asking God to let us live out our purgatory on earth as opposed to in the afterlife. And I want to state this. We live in a day and time where hell is not talked about very much, because there's a misunderstood notion about the four last things. And as a result of that, you know, people think everybody's going to heaven today. So people don't pray for their deceased loved ones. You know, they consider, well, they were good persons, and God's merciful, and off they go. It is indeed true that God is merciful, and his mercy is here for us all of the time. But his justice also is equally present. And so, you know, we can experience his mercy at the time of judgment, most definitely. But there still will be mitigation for that which we've taken with us into eternal life. So I think that your words are well placed today, and it puts us in mind of what's most important. And I thank you for your call and for your sharing. If you want to read a really good book, friends, on the four last things, let me recommend Father Wade Menezes' book. It's published right here for you. And we've got, great, great things to learn about the four last things. They're often not preached about, even during the Lenten season, when it's very appropriate for these things to be preached about. We often don't hear anything about the recourse that we have in the here and the now. The four last things exist, you know, and we should be aware of them. So Father Wade Menezes' book, available for you at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. I interviewed him on Women of Grace Television, and I would encourage you also to watch those interviews. I think that you'll really learn from them. And you can do that right out there at Women of Grace and become an exclusive member to Women of Grace. And all of the programs that we've produced are available to you there. Thank you, Richard, for your call. We're going to go to Joseph. He's calling us from Deerfield Beach, Florida this morning. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Good.
So what's going on with
very
you?
Good. Oh, nothing much. Same old, same old.
There you go. All right.
I just have a question on saying my rosary.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the last 10 years, I decided that, I should be calling and thinking that my biological mother, I'd never call her by her first name. And I do the same with our Blessed Mother. When I say the rosary, instead of saying Mary, I say Mother. Hail Mother, full of grace. Now, I was just wondering if that changes the validity of the prayer.
Well, Joseph, I don't think so. I do think that there's something to be said for the prayers being prayed in a group, as we all know them. So in a corporate setting where you would be gathered with a large congregation of people or even a small group of people, it would be best to say Hail Mary, because that is the way that we know that prayer. And there's something valuable in saying her name, because the angel does change her name. Hail Mary, comma, full of grace, comma. Full of grace is a change of name. But when you're praying your private prayer, I think that it's just perfectly fine. And I don't think that it invalidates the prayer in any way, shape, or form. In a certain way, your Hail Mother shows a filial attachment to Our Lady that is very beautiful. And sometimes I'll say Hail Mary, O plenitude of grace, instead of full of grace. O plenitude of grace. She's filled to infinitude with grace. So I don't think in private prayer there's anything the matter with doing that. You know, and we can also, in the supplication part of the prayer, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for, and if we're praying the rosary for somebody specifically or just offering a Hail Mary for someone, like I mentioned Lori at the beginning of the program, we could say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for Lori now and at the hour of her death. That's perfectly fine. And for any individual that we're praying for any need that they might have. So I think you're all right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you. Thanks for such a good question.
We
appreciate it. And, you know, friends, sometimes I think that we restrict ourselves too much. Remember what prayer is meant to be. It's meant to be friendly discourse or friendly conversation with God, right? With the one we love. And so, you know, I think when we're praying, especially when we're praying privately, because things, you know, in a corporate setting, have got to be applicable to the entirety of the group. But when we are praying privately, I think to make these prayers our own is very special. And it's part of the conversation that we're having with the one we love. We love our Blessed Lady. And so to, in some way, pray that prayer in a way that's meaningful for us is the way to do it. I often like to picture our mother sitting right beside me, you know, and I often like to envision myself just looking at her and praying that prayer to her directly, you know, Hail Mary, you know, full of grace, you know, and try to adopt maybe even a conversational tone when you're praying it privately, because that helps to remind us of what it is that we're about here. It's not just rattling off a whole bunch of words. That yields us nothing. But it's about the intentionality of the heart, the sentiment of the heart, the openness and receptivity of the heart to that which we are saying, to that whom that prayer is being directed. And the Hail Mary, we're directing it to Our Lady, asking for her intercession. Just some thoughts to think about as we go to our break today. We do invite you to call us here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that we are available to you here in North America on a toll-free line. Also available to you out there at social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're going to be right back with you. Stay tuned. More coming up right here on Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Bankovic Williams. So enjoy saying that name. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Venerable Fulton John Sheen.
If we wish to keep our rights and liberties, we must also keep our God. Piety and patriotism go together. That's the first glory of being an American.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Johnette, inviting you to join me and women from around the country for a weekend of formation, fellowship, and fun at our annual Women of Grace retreat at the breathtaking Malvern Retreat House during the weekend of July 13th through 15th. Our theme is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, and features fabulous speakers, Kathleen Beckman, Father Philip Scott, Jack Williams, Thomas K. Sullivan, and yours truly. The retreat includes Mass, Adoration, Confession, Talks, Reflection Time, a healing service, and some special surprises. It is preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar entitled Women, God's Special Weapon Against Evil with Kathleen Beckman, Susan Brinkman, and Father Philip. We are thrilled to offer you our very first Young Women of Grace one-day retreat on Saturday, July 14th. See you there. Visit womenofgrace.com for details or call 800-558-5452.
Stay up to date on the latest EWTN TV and radio shows, books, art, CDs, and DVDs from Religious Catalog when you sign up for Wings, our weekly e-newsletter. Get Wings today at EWTN.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel that God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Jerry Usher.
And I'm Debbie Giorgiani.
Join us weekdays at noon Eastern Time
for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Right here on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, as you've just heard. Want to give you the phone numbers again that you can use. Matt Kabinski's waiting for you. He is our call screener, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you today. Do want to remind you that, yes, Debbie and Jerry do follow us here on Take Two. They've got a very important topic, I think, coming up today. And the topic is protecting innocent minds and hearts. Protecting innocent minds and hearts, right there for you on Take Two, following Women of Grace Live today at 12 noon Eastern Time. So, you know, we just had Joseph from Deerfield on the phone, and he was asking a little bit about, you know, is it okay to sort of change the Hail Mary to say Hail Mother? And I found a couple of things right here in a beautiful book that I have that is available for you. It's called Life of Union with Mary, Life of Union with Mary, written by one of my favorite authors. I mentioned him to you yesterday as well, Father Emil Neubert. And I was just perusing this prior to going on the air today and shared some things with Jeff Burson, my producer. But here, let me just say this. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And it starts off in this chapter, which is basically chapter one. Always good to start at the beginning. And this is what Father Neubert writes. He says, all filial love implies some degree of union between child and mother. Filial love springs from that union, is nourished by it, delights in it. And as love grows, it in turn strengthens the bonds of union. So, you know, anything that helps for us to come into a deeper relationship with our Lord, anything that helps us to come into a deeper relationship with His Mother, and we know that Jesus wants us to be in relationship with His Mother because He entrusts her to us, in the presence of, that moment when He gives His Mother to St. John. St. John is representative of all of us. So we know that, and we know that Jesus wants us to imitate Him. Right? And Jesus loved His Mother. So if we want to be pleasing to our Lord, we're going to do as our Lord did. And He loves His Mother. Notice present tense. He loves His Mother. He never stopped loving her. He continues to love her in eternity, right? So anything that helps us to draw nearer to her is a good thing. Then in chapter 2, I just was perusing this, as I said, on the break there. It says, union with Mary in prayers addressed to her. And this is something about us, you know. And it says to us that the first means of uniting ourselves with Mary is evidently by speaking to her in prayer. Certain formulas of prayer to the Blessed Virgin are demanded daily of every dutiful Catholic. The Hail Mary in the morning and night prayers, the Angelus at the beginning, middle, and end of each day, the Rosary, or at least a decade of the beads, and for all who understand apostolic filial piety, the act of consecration to Mary at the 3 o'clock prayer. So he goes on and he talks about that, You know, that indeed, you know, these prayers are meant to lead us into deepening union with our Blessed Lady. So anything, that helps for us to enter into that prayer more deeply, that helps us to be reminded of the fact that Mary is just not, you know, a plaster of Paris statue somewhere, that she is real, that she hears us, that she was assumed body and soul into heaven and sits at the right hand of her Son in heaven. She is queen of heaven and earth. She should be queen of our hearts, queen of our homes, queen of our marriages, queen of our parenting. She should be queen of everything because her Son is king, right? And she's the queen mother. So we honor Jesus by honoring her. Anything that we can do to enhance that relationship, keeping it in a proper means of prayerful devotion, of course, is beneficial and quite desirable for us. It is praiseworthy. In fact, right? It is praiseworthy, in fact. So there you have it. Some words to us today from Life of Union with Mary, a beautiful book written by Father Emil Neubert. I'm always recommending good books to you because St. Teresa of Avila said, you know, that she always kept good books beside her when it was time for prayer because sometimes, you know, we get distracted, right? And having good, solid, books that help us to be formed, help us to be shaped, help us to grow in union with our Lord Jesus Christ are quite beneficial and can be used prayerfully. For example, anything in a beautiful book like that can be the source of deep meditation, which can lead us to a lovely, lovely time of contemplative prayer. So make use of these very good resources that we encourage you to use. All right, we're going to go to Facebook. We want to hear from you out there on Facebook and YouTube. We certainly do. EWTN Radio's Facebook page and YouTube channel available for you. The number to reach us is 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free. Oh, did I mention it's toll-free? 833-288-3986. Genevieve from Trinidad. Oh, yay, Trinidad. Do you know that we have a Women of Grace coordinator there, a regional coordinator there for you, Genevieve, in Trinidad? Her name is Bernadette Patrick. My guess is that if you do anything in the church, you got to know Bernadette. That's for sure. She is just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was here for mine and Jack's wedding, too, a couple weeks ago. It was great to have her with us. Genevieve from Trinidad asks, my heart goes out to Lori and her kids. I do pray for a miracle for her and other mothers or fathers experiencing the same. Nothing compares or can replace a mother's love. And that's absolutely true. And of course, you know, we're talking here about our Blessed Lady today. Nothing can replace her maternal love for us, right? And certainly nothing can replace a mother's love either. And this is why, I was sharing with Lori today that her motherhood of her children will never end. And I shared with her something else as well. And this was something I learned with the passing of my son and the passing of my husband, Anthony, my late husband. What I learned was this, is that love never dies. You know, it doesn't die. It's eternal because love is God and God is love, right? So there's no death to love. And I shared with Lori that her love for her children would never end and her children's love for her would never end. As a matter of fact, our love for our loved ones who have passed can actually grow. And I've experienced that. It can actually grow. And this is why we pray for them all of the time, right? And this is why we can, through our guardian angels, send, you know, beautiful, beautiful sentiments to them. And in our time of prayer, we can tell them that we love them and that our prayers are going up for them. And we can ask for their intercession. There's nothing more beautiful, and Jack shared this with Lori this morning, there's nothing more beautiful than the grace of a happy death. And Jack witnessed that with the passing of his wife, Susie, and I witnessed that with the passing of my husband, Anthony. And when you see a loved one dying in the state of grace, having received the sacrament, with prayers going around the bedside, you can feel the eternal moment. You can feel eternity in that room, and you can feel and sense the presence of the heavenly hosts and the angels and the saints that make up that great court of heaven. You can feel it. And I was certain that our Blessed Lady was there. Did I see her naturally? No, I did not. But I certainly could feel her presence there. And when we know that our loved ones pass that way, even if there's residual effect of sin that's got to be worked off in purgatory, our loved ones can pray for us. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that. They cannot pray for themselves, but they certainly can pray for us. So to seek their intercession is just fine to do. And, you know, that communication in that sense, in prayer, not through any of the occult means that are so popular today. No, that's wrong. But in prayer, to pray for them and to ask for their intercession and to express a need increases that love, right? So again, the words of St. John the 23rd, you know, our loved ones are not separated from us, but only invisible to us. We have Dee with us today, calling us from Massachusetts. She's listening to us via Station of the Cross. How are you, Dee?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. I'm calling because I'm going through a dark time in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Aww.
And I'm asking if I have been praying for people in purgatory. And I'm asking if we've sinned, does God still hear those prayers?
Of course he hears our prayers. Go ahead.
But I mean, if like I haven't been able to get to confession, and I know I have sinned.
Okay.
Does he hear, does he still hear?
Your prayers?
My prayers, right. Even though I have sinned, even though I have not been to confession, does he still honor the prayers for the people in purgatory?
Okay, Dee. So let's talk about this for just a moment here. All right. Does God hear our prayers? God never separates himself from us. We separate ourselves from God. All right. So God is always there. God cannot stop loving us. There's nothing that we can do that can cause him to stop loving us. It would be antithetical to his very nature, contradictory to who he is, to stop loving us. God is love, and love is an act. And what is that act? It's an act of total self-donation. So God is always about the business of giving himself to us. God is always about the business of hearing our prayers. However, sin deprives us of the ability to receive the graces that are there for us, right? The sin blocks and thwarts our effort to be able to move in the grace, the beatitude that is always present to us, right? So we lose our ability to experience the consolation of God, but God nonetheless is always there. So God does hear your prayer. Now, what we want to do is to resolve anything that's causing us to be separated from him. And that requires true repentance of heart. And I'm not sure if your tears are more out of concern for those who are in purgatory and you're offering prayer for them and worry that maybe they're not receiving your prayers because of your sin, or if your tears are tears of repentance. And I'm not asking you to clarify. I'm asking you to ask yourself, where are these tears coming from? And if these tears are coming from true repentance for your sin, then we want to make certain that that sin is absolved so that we can experience once again this profound union with God that our sin prevents us from experiencing. And the graver the sin, you know, the more separated we are from God until spiritual life is totally extinguished within us. So we don't want to remain in serious sin, right? So there you are, you're in Massachusetts, right? So confession is available to you. So I don't know what's caused you not to go, but I want to encourage you at your first opportunity to get there. And you don't have to wait until Saturday to get there. You can call the parish and tell the parish you want an appointment with the priest, that you want to see him about a serious matter. That's all you have to say. You don't have to define the serious matter as sin, but tell them that it's urgent and it's important. And you can make an appointment and go and sit with Father and talk with him about this whole matter in the confines of the sacrament. And he can give you advice and guidance and help you to make this, a new day so that you can live a new life in grace and resolve whatever has kept you in this state. And I'm going to side on the side of the fact that these are tears of repentance. You understand the gravity of sin and you don't want to be there. It's causing you grief. Mm-hmm. And it should cause you grief. And that's such a very good sign. It's the sign of the beginning of a conversion of heart. Okay?
Thank you so much. Just one more thing. I understood you completely, and I appreciate you being there. But from now on, from this point on, my question is, does my sin block my prayers? Are my prayers blocked by my sin?
I would say that God hears your prayers and he responds. I will say this as well, however, that sin in some way, sin, I would say that sin can have a negative effect on the efficacy of our prayers, because the sin, how could I describe this? When a soul is pure and a soul is holy and when a soul is in a state of grace, the prayer rises easily to God, right? This is why we beseech the saints to pray for us. Mm-hmm. And if there's a holy person in our midst, we want to ask for their prayer and their intercession. Mm-hmm. People flock to those who are known for their holiness of life. Saints in the making, may we say. Why? Because we know that their prayers rise and have a certain particular strength and vitality to them, a particular kind of effect. And so we go to them. When we're living in a state of serious sin, read grave sin, read mortal sin, there is all of that damage that's caused to the soul by that sin, all of that murkiness, all of that muck that is in the soul that the prayer has to rise through. And so it doesn't rise easily, and it doesn't rise purely to God, because it's tainted. It's tainted by that stain of sin. So does God still hear the prayer? Of course he does. But we have a responsibility and a duty when we know that we're in serious sin to take care of that matter, to persist in it. To persist in it really causes a deep separation of ourselves from God. We're causing that separation because we're choosing the sin and we're choosing to hold on to the sin. And let me just say this, sometimes it's very difficult for us because a sin has become a lifelong pattern, and the sin might have even been codified in some way. For example, if we're in a second marriage and there's not been, an annulment, if there was a divorce, then we're persisting in that sin, and the church has remedy for that, and we need to seek that out so that we can be right with God. And then we place ourselves in the category of the sin rises easily because we're living in a state of grace. Does that help you?
That has been a blessing, because the breakthrough, as you were saying, how it rises easily, that's exactly what I've been feeling, the heaviness of it. I've just been trying to break through this heaviness,
right,
and being afraid that these prayers are not rising. So that was a breakthrough in my mind.
Good.
When you said that.
Oh.
And the sin is unforgiveness. It's just such a horrible sin. But thank you.
Oh, but baby,
okay.
You're so welcome. Well, don't thank me, honey. Thank the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you. Okay, so let's talk for a moment about this, okay? Thank you for identifying the sin, because there's I can give you a little process so that you'll get to the place where you can forgive, all right? Sometimes the wound that's been perpetrated against us is so deep, it's hard for us in our frail, weak human condition to say, I forgive. But God does not ask us to do that, right? He wants us to at least desire to forgive. If we desire to forgive, God then can enter into that room in the heart that we've made through this desire, and he can begin a process of restoration within us that can lead us the full distance to forgiveness. So I remember a time in my own life where I had been deeply wounded by the sin of another against me, a wound that took years and years and years and years to heal. I mean, like most of my life. And the priest said to me, Janet, you must forgive. Because see, forgiveness is not an option. It's a mandate from God. Jesus tells us so. So I said, but Father, I don't want to forgive. And he said, can you pray for the desire to forgive? And I said, no. And he said, can you pray for the desire to forgive? And I said, no. He said, can you pray for the desire to forgive? And I said, no. And we backed up five desires. And I said, I can begin there. He said, then that's how you start. You pray for the desire to forgive. And I began to see how, as I followed his sage advice, that room was being made in my heart, that Jesus was in there and he was working. Then, the next step, after we're praying for this desire, then the step that actually accompanies that comes from Jesus himself. Pray for your persecutor. And I said, Lord, why should I pray for him? I need to pray for myself, for my healing. And no, pray for your persecutor. Pray for your persecutor. And I began to do that. And let me just tell you, I didn't enter into it with joy and acclamation in my heart. I entered into it with resistance and struggle and really loathing. I didn't come with good intention. I came for one reason only. I came out of obedience. And so I began to pray, and as I began to pray, you know what happened to me, Dee, is that God began to give me a new vision. And you know what the new vision was? And it came with a question. The Lord showed me that he said, do you think that in the moment that this person was sinning against you in this way, this person could have known my love? And I realized only a person who is devoid of any knowledge of God's love could injure another individual in this way or any way. And I said, no, Lord, this person could not have known your love. And God said to me, then my daughter, this person deserves your compassion, not your hatred. And you know what, baby? It just changed my perspective of this person. And I felt such a deep welling up. It was not coming from me. It was God's mercy for this person flooding my heart. And you know what he said to me then? He said, my daughter, I entrusted this wound to you because I knew you would be the only one to pray for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me just tell you, my dear, that my heart of stone, my heart turned to a heart of stone, and I do believe today is a new beginning.
Yes, it is, Dee. Yes, it is. It is. You hold on to that. That's blessing. That's grace. It is a new day. Thank you so much for calling, Dee. Sorry I didn't get to all of you today, but tomorrow is another day, and we'll be back with you again then. Wishing you a blessed, holy, absolutely marvelous day in the Lord today. Janet Benkovic-Williams signing off for now. Bye-bye.